If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Eye on Houston, Houston's community affairs program reflecting the concerns, needs, and events of our greater Houston communities.
Good morning and welcome to Eye on Houston. For this segment, I'll be your host. I'm Greg O from 95.7 The Spot. I am the host of the show, the whole station, actually. There's nobody else on it from 6 in the morning until 7 o'clock at night, Monday through Friday. So if you've never heard me, well, clearly there's something wrong with you. No, I'm just kidding. But you need to tune in and listen to The Spot because it's great music. It'll bring back a lot of memories. Now, this morning for Eye on Houston, I have a very special guest here. But I want to catch you, the audience that is tuned in, before you automatically have a knee-jerk reaction to tune out. Because the subject matter that we're going to be speaking to my guest this morning about is the coronavirus, coronavirus, COVID-19. However, we're not going to come at it from the angle of vaccinations and mandates and how it's ruined everybody's lives having to stay at home and work or the politics involved. This morning, we're going to explore a very admirable humanitarian effort that a native Houstonian and local artist, Joni Zavitsanos, has undertaken, and I think you're going to be really impressed. Good morning, Joni.
Good morning.
You looked around like I was talking about somebody else.
Because my dog started barking and I was worried.
Well, I love that name, Zavitsanos. It's a nice Greek name. So I came prepared with a hot cup of black coffee because I know how you Greeks roll. And if I had a couple of squares of baklava, we'd be in hog heaven here. And if that sounds like stereotyping, I'm sorry, but it's in the most, loving of ways.
No, absolutely. Every morning I wake up with my Greek coffee.
Yeah, well, that's got to be good. I was married to a Greek woman once, longest 11 months of my life, but that's for another day. Let's talk about what you're up to. You're a native Houstonian and an artist.
Yes.
And you have put together an exhibit called A Commemoration of the Victims of Houston's COVID-19 Pandemic. And the proper name is
Living Icons.
Yes, Living Icons, A Commemoration of the Victims of Houston's COVID-19 Pandemic. You see, audience, you see why I didn't want you to tune out? Because this is coming at it from the standpoint of the human aspect of this disease, which has taken so many lives from us. And many times, I mean, all the time, it gets lost in the numbers. All we hear about are the numbers of people that have passed away from this disease, and all you have to do is scroll your Facebook feeds, and beyond that, everybody has somebody in their own personal lives that has probably, that you know, has died from this disease. So, Joni, tell me, what was your inspiration for taking on this project, and describe a little bit about what it is that you've done.
So, early on when the pandemic started and we were on lockdown, and of course it's pretty shocking and everybody's kind of scared and there's this unsurety of, can you breathe the air outside? Do you go to the grocery store maybe once every couple of weeks just to grab some stuff and head the heck out back home before it hits you? And there's a lot of sleepless nights. I don't know. I was pretty scared, not knowing what this was. And then I started hearing, you're listening to the news constantly, and it's a man in his 80s in Matagorda County and a woman in her 60s in Fort Bend. And I started, I was working in my studio because that was the thing to do since I had so much time on my hand, just sit in the studio and paint. And I started thinking, who are these people? Who are they talking about? Why is this so far from us? What do they look like?
Yeah, it's impersonal.
Yes, it just seemed very impersonal, the way that it was even being recorded, who was dying while we're under lockdown and scared and wondering what this is. So I began an internet search. And I said, I'm going to find who these people are and what do they look like. And it was really hard at first. A lot wasn't recorded and it was very private stuff. So I started looking up obituaries and in the Houston and surrounding counties. And I would find, after hours and hours of search, maybe a name, one name that would say died of COVID. And I had been doing these grid pieces where there were just little bitty blocks of canvas that I was creating images. And I thought, well, I think I want to start depicting these people. And so I began collaging these images of the faces of the victim. I'm Greek, of course, as you mentioned, and only a Greek can be married to another Greek and get along. So that's probably why I've been married for 32 years. But our Byzantine background and our church art has these gold-leafed halos around our saint figures. And I have this idea that we are all saints with our good and bad here on earth. We are earthly saints living our lives the best way we can. And so I decided that these people who had died are saints now. And so I would just put a simple gold leaf halo over them and put their name on the plaque. And I began collecting them. And I thought, I'm going to show these somewhere. Our city needs this. These are our people.
Yeah. Now, a couple of questions come to mind immediately. I'm told that you have depicted the images of more than 600 victims. Is that correct?
Close to 700 now, yes.
How many hours of your life have you devoted to this art project so far?
I don't know. It's every day since the end of March, hours and hours. And I don't know. I don't know. It's sort of an obsession, I have to say.
Yeah. And then, so as you continued to dig in to trying to find these people, how did you find your roadmap to get to them? What did you do?
So I just, it was mostly internet search. But after I started searching on the internet and finding these people, I reached out to Molly Glenser, who was the art critic for the Chronicle for all those years. I've so admired her. And she had been just writing random pieces on the pandemic because there was no art to be seen. And I reached out to her and I just said, hey, I'm working on this thing. I have about 60 people here. I don't know if you're interested in looking at this, but I've got this. And she wrote an article. She wrote a whole page about it. And then all of a sudden people started coming to me and it was like the floodgates opened, mostly through Facebook Messenger. These people would say, I'm so-and-so, my dad died. I'm so-and-so, my son died. I'm so-and-so, I've got, you know, this person. Would you please honor them, please honor them. And so it sort of picked up steam. And then it became a little easier to go through and find. Also, people started putting obituaries in. You know, you hardly had a funeral. That was the other thing. It just broke my heart. You know, I'm Greek. We commemorate those who've passed on. We honor them. We live our lives through them. And so not to have a funeral, not to be able for the family to even come and see at their deathbed, it was outrageous to me. And that pain and that hurt, I just took on. I don't know. I felt it very deeply. And I said, I'm doing a memorial service. I'm doing this. These people are going to have their day and their loved one will be remembered.
If you're just joining us, we're with Joni Zavatsanos. She is a native Houstonian local artist who has come up with a project, an art installation that is going to be displayed at the John P. McGovern Museum of Health and Medical Science called Living Icons, a commemoration of the victims of Houston's COVID-19 pandemic. Now, it's going to be open October through February this year. The tribute will open the weekend of October 15th through the 27th, and then there'll be a special night exclusively for families that can attend privately, almost as if you were attending a wake of somebody to privately remember and celebrate the life of somebody and the families, the various different people who have passed away due to this terrible COVID-19 disease. Now, Joni, you came up with a letter that you sent out to people. I would like you, if you wouldn't mind, you have it at your fingertips. Do you have it nearby? I would like to hear you read part of that letter that you would. Yeah, I have it. I have it here. If you don't have it, I have it. I can read it.
I probably have it. And let me just hold on.
Yeah, stay right there. Because this is good. And the other thing that I want to ask you about, because people are listening and they're saying, okay, so here's an artist and she's helping to remember these people by doing a form of Byzantine art. And I want to go into that just for a moment and explain to people what that is and how you find yourself as an artist of that particular iconography. All right. So, yes.
I'm kind of showing you, I don't have the letter right here in front of me, and I'm sorry that I don't, but I reached out with an appeal, and you can see here where I have actually the son of a father who passed away, and the father in the picture that he's holding has the gold-leafed halo over his head.
Yeah.
You see the same here with the family, right, where, and so that Byzantine influence was really important. The letter, and I'm happy for you to read segments of it, because I've said it in so many ways and so many times and so many fashions, but was basically that I understand the pain of losing a loved one and the importance of that remembrance of those loved ones, and that hosting a memorial on behalf of these people who've passed on would be a way to remember them, as we say in our Greek culture, eternal be their memory. Their lives live on, and they live on through us. And even if they're not with us, their spirit remains with us. And I think it's important for these people who are grieving to understand that we are together, grieving together for those people with hope. The big thing is the hope that there is life beyond this life. I started about midway through adding a butterfly to all of the images, kind of life, rebirth, resurrection. And so that butterfly became a symbol. You see this very young boy who was one of our recent victims, and you see the little butterfly in the corner.
Yeah.
For him. So you'll see that image a lot. I even had, you know, I echoed that butterfly image all through the exhibit, and it's a big part of it. And the memorial was the most important part. Certainly, you know, I'm an artist, so the artwork up there and the beauty of all of those images with their gold leaf halos that I've never seen. So when it goes up, it'll be the first time I'll see it all up together, because they're just in sleeves and boxes. But I hope the tapestry together creates this beautiful image of these people who are with us, these members of our city, who these important people. Each one of them, and I mean, some of them are prisoners. So they're from 4 years old to 100 years old. They are black, white, red, yellow, orange, every ethnic background you can think of, every socioeconomic background that you can think of, and they, we all have that one thing in common, that we have this grief and that hole that needs to be filled in us. And I hope just a small way to fill the hole. That's the idea.
Yeah, COVID-19 doesn't discriminate, doesn't care who you are. And it's random on who it takes the lives of. Some people are able to withstand it and others aren't. I'd like to just jump into the last paragraph of the letter that you sent out. just as in the Jewish Holocaust, the 9/11 memorial, or other such tragedies that our society has faced, we many times say, never forget. In this same way, with the passage of this COVID-19 pandemic and the mark it has left on us all, especially those who have lost someone dear to them, we never want anyone to forget what has happened and who has suffered because of it. I hope you will join me in remembering your loved ones lost and in honoring the memory of who they were and what they meant to ourselves, our families, and the city of Houston at large. I wish you blessings and peace. May their memory may be ever eternal. With gratitude, Joni Zabatsanos. The question, when you, it's beautiful, by the way, when you reached out to certain people, were there some that for whatever reason that they had said, thank you, but I'd prefer not to be included?
There was a handful of people that chose to be very private. They just happened to feel there was one in particular that has agreed now to be in the project that early on their loved one was kind of boasting that this was a hoax and whatever, and ended up contracting and dying of the virus. And there was a lot of hatred poured out on the family, on the children of this person's family, and saying, you know, kind of good riddance. And it was super painful. And I allowed some passage of time, and they actually came back and said, hey, we're coming to this. We want our loved one to be in here. And so I'm grateful for that. And so there was a handful that were, or maybe it was before I was at the museum. And so they were like, yeah, good for you. And yeah, you know, we're going to pass. But that there were very few. By and large, people were coming to me and saying, please, please, can I, is it too late? I actually recently broke my arm and I had to stop depicting. There's a lot of lives continuing to be lost.
Which arm?
It was the left arm, but I work with both hands. And so it was very difficult, and I had a hard time moving. And so, but this family came to me and said, please, please, my father needs to be in this. And I said, I'm okay, I'm doing it, because I can't say no. And so I did get in the studio, and I just kind of prayed my way through it and said, please let me do this correctly. And they're all coming, and some family members from out of town are even coming to the museum to honor that loved one, which I'm just grateful for.
Yes, it's going to be at the John P. McGovern Museum of Health and Medical Science. They're going to house Joni Zabatsanos art installation in their facility from this month, October 2021 through February 2022, and possibly beyond that date. And the tribute is going to open the weekend of October 15th through the 17th, and a special night exclusively for the families. I can only imagine seeing the tapestry of the artwork once it's all put up. It will probably take people's breath away because of the enormity of each one of those, as you said, you know, saints, but souls. Each one of those people has a story. Do you think we could come back, and do you think maybe you would want to tell maybe a couple of the more memorable people you came across that have left an impact on you that perhaps will last forever?
There are so many, many sleepless nights thinking of it.
All right, so we'll come back here. Eye on Houston. This is Grego with me. Our guest this morning is Joni Zabatsanos. She is the artist behind Living Icons, a commemoration of the victims of Houston's COVID-19 pandemic. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Eye on Houston. Good morning. Happy Sunday. It's Grego. Yes, that's right. Monday through Friday, 6 in the morning until 7 o'clock at night. 95.7 The Spot. Joni, I'm sure one of your first questions is, how do you do that? Thank you for asking. I'm on all the time. The only guy on the radio station. So I'm going to get a plug in. Listen to The Spot. I promise you it's a crowd pleaser. Put it on at the next party you go to, the backyard barbecue at the pool. It is a crowd pleaser. Even play it in your store, because every song is a hit. We get rid of all the dogs. With me this morning, not literally, I keep the dog here in the studio with me. Stella, my puppy, is here. With me this morning is Joni Zavitsanos, the artist behind the latest art installation that's going to be displayed at the John P. McGovern Museum of Health and Medical Science. Living Icons, a commemoration of the victims of Houston's COVID-19 pandemic. And Joni, good morning again, once again to you. By the way, I'm told that did your art installation eclipse that of Dr. Jonas Salk and the polio installation? I mean, if your stuff is taking precedence over the inventor of the polio vaccine, American virologist and medical researcher, you got something there, girl.
Well, in fairness, it's more recent, okay? It's the buzzword of the day, so I won't take any credit for that, other than the fact that they did want to do something local and personal, and this was a good way to do it. It happened to fit into their, regime, if you will.
Yeah. So in our first segment, you know, before we got started, and hopefully we gave people enough to want to hang on and continue to listen to this beautiful tribute that you have given quite a number of hours of your life's work to commemorate victims of people that, you know, were just minding their own business, living their lives like anybody else, and wound up losing them to this disgusting disease that doesn't discriminate, just, you know. And so in the midst of the debate, the back and forth about vaccines, should I be vaccinated? Should I not be vaccinated? Can our government mandate that you be vaccinated? The politics behind it, and the scorn that people have for others that don't get vaccinated, and all of the noise, not to mention just the depression surrounding the sickness that has ruined not only people's lives, but their ability to earn a living in many ways, to carry on the way they were. They've been displaced. People are living from home. The suicide rate through the roof, depression. But you are coming at this from the standpoint that almost makes people say, wait a minute, time out. Let's remember the people. But we can debate all this down the road, but there are real lives that are no more because of this. And I guess that is what helped you to get going and do this and continue to do it.
For sure. That drove me, the sadness of these families. We all want to move forward. They'll never move forward. I mean, this will be a moment in history that stays with them for the rest of their lives. And it doesn't matter which side of the political arena you're on. The fact remains that, you know, this tragedy happened to them. And I have many stories, a lot of sleepless nights. I say that selfishly, because the sleepless nights were by those families. So mine were just, you know, I can move on eventually.
Yeah. Well, I know you hurt your left arm recently. Now, are you left-handed by nature as an artist?
Well, I'm a bit ambidextrous, but I have to use both my arms in doing these collaged pieces. They require both arms in order to get these on and done.
Well, when you talk about sleepless nights, I'm going to say this selfishly as well, on my own behalf, because I recently dislocated a shoulder, and I have hardly been able to sleep a wink in probably over a month or so. And so I know what that's like to walk around when you're cranky and angry because you haven't had a good night's rest. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. But it's okay. This shall pass, right?
Exactly right. Now, when people attend the art installation at the John P. McGovern, you see the pieces that you have collected that have been submitted to you and that you have added to. You have added your own Byzantine flair to them. Let's stop for just a moment and talk about the earliest form of Christian artwork, the Byzantine, and how you find yourself as someone who is a as an artist in that particular vein?
Well, I wouldn't call myself a Byzantine iconographer. My father was one of the most renowned Byzantine iconographers. He's my greatest influence just in life and in art. And he did beautiful church art for Byzantine and Protestant and Catholic churches around the world, but mostly for Orthodox churches, because that's our art, that's our form. The very kind of abstracted looking figures and the gold leafed halos. And those really resonated with me. And my modern art always kept a flavor of that within it. And so I thought it appropriate that these gold leafed halos would be around the figures of the pieces in this Living Icons tribute, because they are saints.
Your father, Diamantis Cassis, he is well renowned. Can you tell people just that are, you know, interested in this type of stuff, where can they see his work and what is he most renowned for?
So Byzantine art was his art form. He passed away now coming up on 6 years ago, but he would always teach me to make meaningful art. Art that mattered. And that's what kind of drove me to this project. And his work actually will be on display. I will be at the Greek Festival the weekend of October the 7th, 8th, and 9th. And I will have his work up there that you can see for sale, as well as my own. And so if you ever want to come out to the Greek Festival and see his beautiful work, you can see my dad's work there.
And I'm told that there are pictures of you immortalized at his feet while he was working, and you were learning. Did he teach you? He taught you while he painted, or did his?
Well, I could draw before I could speak. It was just something that he passed on to me, and I would sit in his studio while he did private lessons or while he was working in his studio, and he would give me blank sheets of paper. I could never have a coloring book. It was just terrible. I always wanted to color in the lines, but was not allowed. And so I'd get blank sheets of paper and crayons and whatever, and he just let me go at it, and I just had a knack for it, if you will. Or maybe I had the freedom because he just let me go for it. And so I was around it my whole life, through him. And now, especially that he's gone, I wish to honor him and make meaningful art. And that's another reason for the project I told you, is making sure Dad knows, hey, I'm still doing this for you. So yeah. Not as good as him, not nearly, but he did teach me the formal Byzantine, iconography, and I've done Byzantine icons. Some of them will be on view at the festival too, but I'm a lot more painterly and messy. He was really brilliant.
I'm told of a particular painting that interests me, of the Last Supper that you have done. Is that correct? Can you describe that?
Well, it's very different, and my dad was alive when I completed it, and he was so thrilled, you know, because he was thrilled with everything I did because I was his daughter. But very abstracted. My master's from the University of Houston is in printmaking, and I love wood carving because my dad did that, and I followed suit and would do wood carving and linoleum cut prints. And so I have this collage of these very interesting figures around a table that is sort of covered in Christ's blood, and it's all of humanity. So it's all these faces all over it. And so kind of the idea that he pours out his blood over humanity to save us. So it's interesting. It's a little edgy.
Oh, I love that. Anyway. I totally love that. And I hear that, you know, instead of wearing the period garb, they're wearing Giorgio Armani suits or something. Is that right?
Some of them, yes. Prada shoes and the like.
I love that. If you're just joining us, adding a little levity to what is a very serious subject, we're here with Joni Zavitsanos. She's the artist and native Houstonian behind Living Icons, a commemoration of the victims of Houston's COVID-19 pandemic, to open at the John P. McGovern Museum of Health and Medical Science on October the 15th through the 17th, and going to go through February 2022 and maybe beyond if enough of us go out and see your works. I cannot imagine that it's going to be anything short of just spectacular. Now, before we wrap, I would like to you've been putting the time and the sweat equity into this, and not to mention the emotional toll that it has taken on you. Can you perhaps just maybe, you know, sort of stream of consciousness, talk about some of the people whose lives you heard about as you were chronicling these and putting together this art installation that have impacted you?
Yes, there were many, and many stories that I remember and recall fondly, and, you know, tragically, but fondly, in that I've gotten to know all these people now. Let me add before I begin that the opening for the exhibition will be on the 16th of October. That will be the official opening day. The 15th will be the memorial for the families of Private. Right. So just clarifying that. There's one guy that I want to talk about. His name was Edward Hawkins. They called him Hawk. And he was one of the very many incarcerated people that died of the virus. There were very, very many jailed inmates, prisoners who contracted the virus because they were under lockdown, and a lot of the guards were not showing up because they, you know, you flee during times of crisis. Not everybody wants to show up for work because they're afraid. And so these guys were kind of left, and he was one of them. And I talked to his daughter, Jo Mitra, who loved him so much. And she hadn't seen him in 20 years, her job, and the distance precluded that. He died at the hospital Galveston, where a lot of the prisoners were sent that got sick around Texas. That's where they were sent. It was a hospice, really, of sorts there. And she, I just, you know, we cried together on the phone, and I said, "Look, I'm so sorry this happened. Sometimes the right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing." And she said, "Joni," she said, the right hand didn't care what the left hand was doing. And I think a lot of people, it's, I don't know if it's true or not, but they were abandoned. And she had that heartache that she didn't even get told about her father till after the fact. And there's just a lot of pain in, this is your loved one. She talks about him, how, what a man of God he was, what church he attended in Galveston, that he would open up his door to anyone. So he's not a guy who, you know, was a thief. Okay. He was a guy who was also a full human being that maybe made some mistakes. And those tragedies were hard. It was hard to hear about the wife of the judge. I mean, I'm sorry, the prison guard, who would show up every day when no one else would. And he contracted the virus, and she just cried and cried over it, you know? Then you have Vincent Mandola, the restaurateur, who was just a legend. He loved going in and serving, and he had he wasn't ill. He didn't have any existing issues and contracted it, I guess, through being at the restaurant, but his wife was there with him. And that family, just a tragedy of not having that figure, that bold figure in their lives. Ex-Baker and Botts, attorney and partner, who loved driving around in his baby blue Mustang convertible, even at 90 years old, contracted the virus, and he's gone. They're everybody. Pregnant women who had to give birth early and go, you know, a young boy, 12 years old, who knows what existing problem and why his system couldn't handle and left. There's a million stories.
There's a million stories.
And they're all worthy. Every single person, whether they were imprisoned or in a nursing home or young or whatever, they all have a beautiful story to tell. They have people who love them. They have a life worth remembering. Their face needs to be seen, and their name needs to be told. And I hope I can do that.
Just a couple of things come to mind. One thing I've thought about that I've seen from my own personal circle of people that have passed, I'm reminded of the expression, "God takes the good ones." I have seen so many wonderful humans that I know that I would say, you know what, that guy was, that's an awesome dude, or an awesome, you know, a great person, and they pass away. And it makes you wonder, you know, if that is a truism. The other thing is, you mentioned Mr. Mandola, who is very strong and still came down and with the disease, and it took his life. And I think all of us, and maybe some personally, are thinking, I'm strong. I've weathered the storm of pneumonia before and other things, and I could handle it. I'll fight it off. I can do it. It's, you know, it's not going to be me, until it's somebody close to you that is strong and you watch them pass away. Just recently in my own circle of family, we had a couple of people in our family that said, well, I'm not going to get vaccinated. You're not sticking that needle in my arm. Not going to do it. And then the brother-in-law passed away. The brother-in-law, you know, connected to the family. And this guy was a construction worker. He was always very nice to me. He was a big 101 fan from back in the day when KLOL was a rock station. And that's how we came into contact with one another. And we always had great conversations. We love talking about rock and roll and music together, and the fact that he would listen, and he was enthralled with the radio business. And this guy was tough. He was a country boy, guy's guy, that could fix anything, make anything, cook anything. Great family man. And inside of like 2 or 3 weeks, contracted the disease and was gone. And that motivated people that are in our family to go, well, perhaps maybe I am going to go get a shot. Because as we said earlier, COVID-19 does not discriminate. And I am not going to, I'm vaccinated. I got the Pfizer vaccine, the 2-shot. But I'm not going to tell anybody listening to this show what you must do. This, in my opinion, is still America. You'll make your decision, but make the right decision, because there are so many stories. And Joni Zavatsanos, in her Living Icons commemoration of the victims of Houston's COVID-19 pandemic art installation, will showcase almost 700 of them, people that weren't asking for this. This disease came to them and took their lives. And maybe, you know, what you have put together and spent so much of your time and life over the past year doing, you know, it's public service. It is public service. You just very well may be the catalyst for someone that stumbles upon and into the John B. McGovern Museum of Health and Medical Sciences says, what is this? And then once they see the enormity of how many people, the souls that have been lost, will say, you know what, maybe I'm going to rethink things. Maybe I'm going to do something different. Did that ever cross your mind?
Well, really, my goal is to give peace and comfort to families. I love that we have a free country, and so you have the option to do what you want to do. So I don't even go there. I just know that these families are grieving, that they need some comfort. I also know that God sends rain down on both the just and the unjust. You know, we don't know why somebody is taken and why somebody is not. I have a dear friend that I grew up with, Catherine, who she was not supposed to make it. She was on a ventilator. She was every day worse, worse, worse. And miraculously, her doctor says she was one of 2%, that she had a 2% chance to get out, and she's out.
Yes.
And I'm grateful for that. My brother had it early on. I was scared to death. He was, you know, about a week and then recovered. Who knows why it turns south or doesn't? I don't know. You know, before the vaccine came out, before we had that option anyway. So My focus is
giving and comfort. Giving the families the proper acknowledgement so that they can grieve and commemorate their loved ones in a manner that's dignified, rather than, well, your loved one is in a hospital bed about to pass away, but you can't go in because we have a restriction. You can't go to their bedside and hold their hand while they're breathing their last.
So terrible, terrible.
Just awful.
And then the funeral. Oh, well, you can pick three people because the funeral home has all these people. And so choose which ones are going to go if you even can afford to have it. If you can even afford to have a funeral, which was another huge issue. So there's so many backstories to the story. How many Hispanics have been just pummeled by this disease, this virus. The Black community, who I haven't represented as well, because they need to be people of hope. You know, as Greeks, I understand very well. We don't focus on the crucifixion and the passion of Christ. We always focus on the resurrection, okay? Because we are persecuted people around the world. And these, in the Black community, I never saw on there, this person died of COVID. What they write on their obituaries is hope. This person was a man of God, and this was his church, and his favorite verse in scripture was this. And he lives on, and we celebrate him. And so I don't have them on the wall, but they're there too. And we need to remember that, even if they're not as reflected as they should be, because they were another hard hit in our community.
Yeah.
So bring that up as well, just to note.
Yes. Yeah. People of tremendous faith and belief in what is next, you know, and in a better place. And that. Now, will you continue to collect the photos and to add them to your art installation as you get them? Is that your commitment at this point?
My research has slowed, and especially with my arm, but I am open. I can't tell anyone no. I told this family, I'll do it, you know, and I can't tell anyone no. So of course, anyone who wants to be added, they can't be added at the museum because it's sort of stayed and fixed and they've got it all like neat and tidy. They've got a really wonderful set designer there that's putting everything up. My friend has, I should mention Karen Weimer has developed leaves out of resin and wire, and she's written the names of all the victims. They're going to be on a tree of life in the center of the room, which will be very cool.
Yeah.
And so, but I am looking for a permanent spot for this exhibit. I want a permanent spot in Houston where people can go and pay tribute. And I'm reaching out to people looking for that spot. And if this exhibit wants to travel, maybe to Galveston County or to Fort Bend or Matagorda or wherever, it can travel. And I will add, as appropriate, whoever wants to be added.
If anyone's listening that perhaps wants to get in contact with you because they have an idea or resources that might help you get to where you want to go, how do they reach you?
My website is JoniZavatsanos.com, and they can look that up in that terrible Greek name like that, having to look it up. They can email me, but you can look me up and you can certainly call the Museum of Health and Medical Science here in Houston, and they have my information. And I'm happy for them to reach out that way and contact me and let me know.
JoniZavatsanos.com. That's JoniZ as in zebra, AV as in Victor, ITS as in Sam, ANOS. .com. JoniZavatsanos.com. Living Icons, a commemoration. That's a tough word for me today. I'll tell you that. A commemoration of the victims of Houston's COVID-19 pandemic. The exhibit opens on October the 16th at the John P. McGovern Museum of Health and Medical Science. Make it a point to go and just give these souls, these saints, that have given their lives to a terrible disease that nobody asked for, a little recognition, because I am sure Joni from on high you have at least 700 and more guardian angels that are watching you right now. You're going to have great luck for the rest of your existence. I'll tell you what. Amen, sister. That's right. In the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And that's Ion Houston. Joni, thank you for talking to me this morning.
Thank you so much.
Continued success. All right.
Appreciate it so much.
And this is Grego. We'll see you on the spot. 95.7. Give a listen and have a great day.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing, but the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.